Good morning. This is Pastor Stoltz, and welcome to our Sunday worship. The scripture lessons that I will be reading in a moment are Isaiah 12, 1 to 6, James 1, 16 to 21, John 16, 5 through 15. And we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins. And by the Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee and thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy on us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all of our sins. To them that believe on his name he gives power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. The Lord hath made known his salvation, his righteousness hath he openly shown in the sight of the heathen. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to God the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee. We glorify thee, we give thanks unto thee for thy great glory. O Lord, God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord, God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you, and let us pray. O God, so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that being ever mindful of the end of all things and the day of thy judgment, we may be stirred up to holiness of living here, and dwell with thee forever hereafter in the joys of the Lord, in the joys of heaven. We pray this through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. and let us confess our faith according to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The first reading, the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 to 6. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. So far. The Epistle, James, chapter 1, verses 16 to 21. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of the truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, and slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not of the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So far. The Gospel, St. John chapter 16, verses 5 to 15. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask me whither thou goest. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, and therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. So far. At this time, let us confess our sins and receive holy absolution. now ask you before God, who searches your heart. Do you sincerely confess that you have sinned against God and deserve his wrath and punishment? Then declare so by saying, I do confess. Do you heartily repent of all of your sins, committed in thought, word, and deed? Then declare so by saying, I do repent. Do you sincerely believe that God, by grace for Jesus' sake, will forgive you all of your sins? Then declare so by saying, I do believe. Do you promise that with the aid of the Holy Ghost, you will henceforth amend your sinful life? Then declare so by saying, I do promise. Finally, do you believe that through me, a called servant of God, you will receive the forgiveness of all your sins? Then declare so by saying, I do believe. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My sermon this morning is based upon the Gospel reading, St. John chapter 16. The sermon theme is the true God revealed. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, the ancient scriptures of the Egyptians, the Babylonians, and the Greeks unearthed by excavators tell us what people thought about God and their relationship to him. And it's interesting enough to know that some of their ideas contain some elements of truth. They show that even without conversion, man knows something about God and his nature, that he is a supreme being and upon whom people are utterly dependent, that he has set forth some moral standards, such as the Ten Commandments, by which people should live, and that there is more to existence than the years of life here on earth, that there is an afterlife. However, beyond this, most of the religious content is simply fiction, speculation, a few ideas of truth. And so it is we find some of the gods of the ancients to be merely glorified men with all the failings and the vices of humankind, which is all understandable because the religions of the ancients rest upon the flimsy grounds of the fallible human mind rather than upon the revelation by the Holy Spirit. Now, during his earthly ministry, Christ said to his disciples, "Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall glorify me and the Father, and he will reveal the truth about God." Unfortunately, the religious faith of many people today does not rest upon divine revelation. It is based upon notions which are almost as vague as that of the pagan ancients. This perhaps accounts for the fact that 97% of the population claims a belief in God, whatever that means, and less than half of these are to be found worshiping that God on a Sunday morning on a regular basis. Why is this? With life's hectic pace, people today do not take time to reflect upon their need for God. The voice of conscience, which reminds people of their sin, the nightly news reminds us of the evil and the trouble on every hand, they fail. They fail because people are too busy to really take notice or to even care. St. Mark reminds us, people see, but they do not perceive. They hear, but they do not understand. Otherwise, they would turn and be forgiven. God's ultimate reason to manifest himself was that we might know him not only as our Creator, but as our Redeemer. As we are told in 1 John, he was manifested to take away our sins. But when few statistics show that few people worship God, it is plain that the majority think little of sin, and even less for the need for one to spare them from its consequences. When people say they believe in God but do not respond to him in commitment and trust, well, it's plain that they have only a philosopher's faith based upon speculation and guesswork. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. And that truth refers to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and what they have done for our salvation. The activity of the triune God is a matter of history, not speculation. In science and philosophy, speculation may have some value, but it has absolutely no place in true religion. For in Christianity, we deal with the most vital facts. We concern ourselves with matters of life and death, dealing with our destiny both in time and in eternity. In matters so important, we cannot risk any guesswork or mistake or assumptions. We must have facts. Those referred to in the Gospel of John specifically concerning Jesus Christ, who reveals the true God to us, as he writes, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not even written in his book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. You see, the heart of Christianity, the center around which the Old Testament and the New Testament revolve, is the triune God, who has revealed himself through the living historic person of Jesus Christ and what he has done. You take him out of Christianity, and there would be nothing left. All the prophecies of the Old Testament, all the language of the New Testament would be mere pious talk. God would be a liar, and the Bible would not be a book of truth. But the truth is this: Christianity is Christ. Christ bore in his own body our sins upon that cross. He was wounded for our transgressions, and with his stripes we are healed. Nothing is more real in history than the presence and the tragic consequences of sin. It therefore took an equally real act on God's part to deal with sin. Christ absorbed in his own body all of our sins. When in the darkness of Good Friday he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? If we by faith acknowledge this, we are spared the eternal judgment and punishment which would otherwise be ours. Our destiny is changed from that of being hell-bound sinners to heaven-bound saints. All that Christ did was a matter of historic record. The disciples saw his anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane. John saw his suffering on the cross. Thomas felt the nail prints and the scars of crucifixion in the resurrected body of Christ. The disciples heard the voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." These historic facts that they witnessed, and to which they testified in the power of the Holy Spirit, were the basis of their faith, and we have no reason to doubt their truthfulness. This, the basis for our faith. Our faith is based on the sure knowledge of Christ, the prophets, the apostles, not on vague feelings. It is based upon the operation of the Holy Spirit, who works through the recorded Word of God based on the historic actions of Christ. The actions, the actual and the real suffering and death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our faith is based on the solid accomplishments of the Son of God, who with his resurrecting power, he is able to come into our lives and assure us of the reality of our redemption and our ultimate salvation in the life of the world to come. For he is the all-embracing Savior, with salvation for every contrite sinner, the all-merciful Savior who grants his grace freely without payment, our all-sustaining Savior, who fortifies us against doubt and the devil, the all-sufficient Savior whose companionship will keep us meet and help for every need, the all-faithful Savior who stands at our side, our all-victorious Savior who can defeat every enemy of our soul forever. Again, albeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, unto thy church, thy Holy Spirit, and the wisdom which comes down from above, that thy word, as becometh it, may not be bound, but have free course and be preached to the joy and edification of Christ's holy people. That in steadfast faith we may serve thee, and in the confession of thy name abide unto the very end. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.